In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
We pick it up as a suspended game for game number 1. And Danny Jansen, a month later, traded to the Boston Red Sox. And here he is behind the plate in a Red Sox uniform and ready to catch the rest of what was his at bat.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Here's the Rosarena, drives one. Right there. Look it up, my baby Sterling. Get out of here.
Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
We are finally here. You know, I think as a coach, you're always enjoy all the time you have for prep to get ready for games and to get your team ready to go out there and play. But I think our guys are certainly excited and ready to go hit somebody else and go play somebody else.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
What is happening?
If I was to have listened to that open properly,
yes.
Should my takeaway be that we have already begun the process of not caring about Oregon State football?
Yeah, no Beavs included.
Well,
you named a starting quarterback yesterday. You guys have big news. We've been waiting for months on that news.
You know, if Lanning had Austin Novosad and Dante Moore, and it was a battle, and he made it known it's a battle, and there's no clear winner, and yesterday you'll depress her.
Yeah, it's big news if you get it.
I feel like that's in the open.
Shots fired early on Beaver crime right out of the gate today.
He didn't even know it.
He didn't even know they named a starter? Come on, Swigart, it's your Beavers.
No, I did know that they named a starter.
Oh, okay.
You knew.
Didn't
know there was audio to it.
He didn't know that the press conference had taken place.
I watched that Lanning presser last night, about 10 minutes long. Bray's is early in the day. I don't know if it's always or going to be at noon.
At noon. Yeah. I don't know if it's always going
to
be at noon.
It was kind of nice. It was nice to have that in the middle of the afternoon. And then Lanning's was late in the evening. And I found myself lying in bed watching that last night, laughing out loud, because they asked the first 5 questions were like Idaho related. Like, what challenges does Idaho's quarterback pose? None.
Why do you think they asked those?
I don't know.
Who's that for?
I figured it was going to be more like depth chart related, you know, playing time related. Not that you're going to get
they tried in the first couple. He's
asking Idaho. What we're doing?
Room.
Idaho questions here. Okay.
Yeah, but like, all who's right. The content for? Who's reading that? Going, oh, I can't wait to dig on Idaho.
I need a preview of what Idaho's bringing to the table this weekend. I mean, this is a
they're going
to
win by 60.
It's
points.
An exhibition game. Yes. It's thanks for coming. Here's $1 million. Yep. We're going to play everybody on our roster because it'll be 74-4 at halftime, and that's how this is going to go. Like, I don't need to know what scheme Idaho runs for this game because Oregon's not even running most of their scheme anyways. It's just, let's get the kinks out.
If they can cover the kickoff, kid.
That's right. Kickoff returns dangerous at Idaho. I learned that last night.
I saw a couple
what
people
are we doing here, man?
That cover Oregon, and they tease like
The challenge is ahead for Idaho and Oregon.
Idaho week, baby.
The intel on the opponent, Idaho, this week. I'm like, nobody cares.
No, it is a little controversial now that I just commandeered the entire segment to talk about my big program.
And yeah, thank you for proving my
point.
We
overlook your little program over there.
No, you proved my point, actually.
You're not even welcome in an open anymore on this show. Apparently, those are the new rules for the 2024 season. Very controversial. They're doing a stripeout this weekend. And many fans have thought, we're using up a stripeout game, the only one of the season for Idaho.
Why is that controversial?
Because it looks cool on TV. They did it for Colorado last year, and it's not your.
Well, I think they're trying to be good conference partners because their game's on the Big Ten Network.
Playing Idaho.
You should be doing greenouts.
Yeah, greenouts, yellow outs. Yeah, I mean, that's what they're doing for most of the other games. But the one stripe out they did last year was cool because they'd never done that before, and they used it for a big nationally televised game. And this week, not a big nationally televised game.
Is this a real controversy, or is this just a Dirt Johnson controversy?
This is an Oregon Twitter bubble controversy.
Really?
Of like, why
would
you do this?
So if I type Oregon stripe out on Twitter, I will see.
It's popping up. People are outraged by this.
Okay.
It's all over. Everybody's yelling online. Hey, don't take your anger out on Oregon State quarterback news on me, okay? I don't make the opens around here.
I'm not seeing any tweets.
I had this as the number one. I am pissed. Why would you do it against Idaho? Number one story in my show tweet last night. What was it? Oregon State quarterback news. This is not on me here, Bob, okay? I'm eager to talk about your starting quarterback.
Oh, no, I just found it funny. I just like, wow, they finally announced the starting quarterback, and it was like, Randy Arozarena home run.
Also, where's Kerry Agers at today? Where are we at, Kerry? Where are we at on that one? Because that was breaking news.
Those are no longer sources. Those are sauces.
That is not a sauce anymore.
He's got sauces.
We had a source off, and I voted correctly on that. Oh. I chose Nick Daschle in that.
Did you choose Daschle?
I did, just because I think he's closer to the program right now. He's there
really?
Every day. Is Kerry there every day?
No.
He's still writing.
Daschle is there every day.
He's there every day. Yeah. I feel like he's more plugged into the current staff. If the source, if you needed a quote from Mike Riley for an article, I'm going to Kerry Agers for
right.
that.
We all know that.
But he's not on. He's hanging out, but he's not on the staff right now.
So how would you power rank it then? Would you go Daschle, Machado, Beaver Blitz, and then Agers, or
probably,
is Agers two?
Probably Machado two, okay. Kerry Agers three.
Okay.
I think that's how I'm power ranking my Oregon State sources.
So when you report the way that Kerry reported it, do you come out and say, well, I was wrong? Or does he say...
Let's see if we got a tweet last night. I
forget how he worded it, but he worded it in a way where...
He did. He worded
you could kind of weasel out of saying, well, I wasn't really reporting
right.
all the way.
No, we got no tweet from him last night. No reaction tweet. So he did. We just didn't even acknowledge that the news existed, and that came out pretty early in the day. That was a early afternoon, late morning breaking news alert. I was on the golf course and I saw that tweet and I thought, oh, look at that, we got news to talk about tomorrow.
I'm trying to find his tweet with that.
It was very cautiously worded.
It was. Yes.
He is likely to be the starting quarterback, or may potentially going to be the starting quarterback, but all of them are going to play in week one, I believe was the verbiage of it.
He says there was no announcement. Go back and read what I wrote. I said Gulbranson is likely to be the opening game starter.
Yeah.
I'll stand by that.
Okay. Not the starting quarterback, no.
Yeah, he did say likely starter for the Idaho game.
Yeah, we tried to tiptoe
and then
around
he said,
it.
But promising redshirt freshman Jabari Johnson should see playing time too and could win the starting job at some point this season.
Okay.
I literally could say the same thing.
I could see
in
it
fact,
happening.
At 7 a.m., I may say the same thing.
Oh, do we have, are you going to give us some
sauces?
What do you got for us? We got breaking news?
Breaking news.
From Brandon Sprague, 1080 The Fan.
At any one point, any one of these three quarterbacks could be the starting quarterback of Oregon State this season.
Go,
it's crazy.
Oregon State.
Give you some
Oregon State drops
Sprague,
in the open.
Yeah.
I just for the record,
yeah,
there is Oregon State leading story in the update copy.
Okay, that's good to know.
So you got that at least.
Well, no, I'm actually not mad. I just heard the open and I kind of chuckled and I went, I wonder how this football season's gonna go.
Yeah,
it's gonna be weird for my Beavs.
It is gonna be very weird. It's a very delicate balance.
Hey, Oregon State, UNLV this weekend. Yeah. Let's get jacked up on Mountain Dew.
I think at least the good news for you guys, if I'm finding a silver lining, is one, you have a cakewalk in week one, so it should be a blowout win over Idaho State. And then when you go, I mean, week three we know is the Civil War, so that will be a talked about week,
yep.
And that's in a couple of weeks. This next week is an interesting game. I think you have one of the more interesting games locally of anybody playing.
Purdue.
San Diego State next week.
San Diego State.
On the road. And if that's a win and you're 2-0 going into the Civil War, I do think the chatter picks up. Not that you're going to be on par with what Oregon is this year, but a 2-0 start at least gives you hope that you can win that game the week after the Civil War against Purdue and some of the other challenges that you have left on your schedule. I think if you're looking at the Mountain West opponents...
What a weird schedule.
Very weird schedule. Boise State is easily the... I mean, they're the team that many people are picking maybe a dark horse for the college football playoff as the group of five team, and that's at the very end of the season. But everybody else in between that, after San Diego State, those are manageable wins. So if you win next weekend at San Diego State, I do think the chatter is going to pick up.
I'm taking a week of being fat. I've gained 7 pounds since Sunday.
Oh yeah, brother.
Well, you starved yourself before Hood to Coast. Is that what happened?
No, you can't starve yourself when you run 17 miles. You
That's
eat.
True.
You did carb you carbo, up. Carbo load with some fettuccine Alfredo right before the run?
I did not, Michael Scott.
Come on. Fancy ass. Eat some carbs.
I ate, but I've been eating a lot and anything and everything.
Yeah, it feels good, doesn't it?
I may have crossed the threshold of like, I'm 2 days into this and I'm already kind of regretting
it. Are you going to be Ben Stiller's character at the end of Dodgeball?
I'm capable.
Fast forward to December, and yep. It's just Fat Sprague.
And I'm seeing Skinny
there.
You on yeah. TV, and I'm eating a chicken wing. You're ducks.
We won that game. We won that game outright. This is unfair.
I ate at a fast food joint this morning, and I think I ate too much.
Yeah, that'll happen from time to time.
I haven't eaten at one of these places in a long time.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous.
A little nervous. I had one of those days yesterday, too, where I had we made burritos on Sunday night, which can be a little dicey from time to time. And then I was going to play golf yesterday in a tournament after the show, and you called me right as I was like pulling into a McDonald's drive-thru. Because I'm like, tee time, I'm going straight from here. Yeah. I don't know if there's any food available before I tee off. So I pounded a couple of sausage biscuits with, you know, little breakfast biscuits.
Yeah.
And then it just was the whole afternoon. It was
moving around.
An uncomfortable combination in there. The cauldron was burning.
I did two McMuffins with two hash browns, and I put the hash brown on the McMuffins.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you fatty. Look at you.
About two bites left on the second one. I went, two was maybe a mistake.
It was way too many. Way
That's okay.
Way too many.
I ended up doing the breakfast biscuits at Carl's Jr. yesterday.
Dude, the breakfast biscuit at a fast food joint, they put so much salt in those, but they're so damn good.
So fluffy.
I feel like awesome. I need to drink like a gallon of water after I eat one of those things. You're just parched like I've been walking through the desert for a month.
I had the same problem because I love a sausage biscuit.
Oh, it's so good.
But it's so salty that I'm just so like, good, I got nothing. I'm just...
I also feel like that is a problem of fast food places. Like not very often do I go to a fast food place and order the right amount of food.
Yeah.
Like you go through, it's so cheap and everything. It's like, it's like $5, whatever. Throw one more on there. And then you get the bag and you're like, why? Why did I?
I ate the first one. I was like,
six chalupas? What was I thinking, man? Like, dude, I can only eat three. Why was I? What? And then you put them in the fridge and I'm eating leftover chalupas and it's not good. It's bad. No. It's bad for everybody.
No thank you on that one.
Hey, go Biebs, man. Go Biebs.
I used to buy the Grande meal by myself.
The grande meal.
When it was like $7.90, I'd be like, man, I'm getting all this food $7.
My first real working job, I was 15, was at a Taco Bell.
Was it really?
Yes.
Wow.
And that's back when they had 49-cent tacos on Sunday.
Dude.
And poor, you know, acne-riddled 15-year-old swag was working the fry thing to make the taco shells.
Not good. Not a good spot for acne.
Taco shells going down, sir.
All that stuff's bubbling up on your face. You got zits popping up all over the place. Not good, man.
Turns around, you got white heads just showing everywhere.
But you'd have people roll through the
drive-thru. Squirting them into the tacos, dude. This is a health epidemic,
it was amazing.
Man.
You'd have people roll through the drive-thru. 20 tacos and 2 large Diet Cokes.
Yes, sir.
That's how we used to order at Taco Bell back in the day.
I'm fat.
We're all fat.
I love it.
Well, we got a good show today. There's a lot to discuss. There's a lot to get to. I want to get to some baseball dealings today.
Are you sure about that?
What do you mean?
I thought baseball season was over. I thought we moved on. I thought we buried the baseball season yesterday. Didn't we do that collectively?
You did that.
I thought we were in the trust tree here. I dug a hole in the backyard. I thought it was put in the ground and it's football season.
You did that.
Oh, I did that. Okay. That wasn't a show thing?
No, it wasn't a show thing. My Bravos are still alive.
They are.
Bravos are alive. Yeah. The Royals are challenging the Guardians.
Yeah, Mariner fans are tweeting us again.
Mariners.
Now we're back, baby! Yeah, you're two games over
3.5 out.
Hey!
We got some NFL West newsy notes.
We got CeeDee Lamb getting paid. We're going to get to the Oregon State stuff. We'll talk about that with some Trent Bray audio. Dan Lanning's got a lot of thoughts on Idaho.
He does.
Just not who his starting center is.
It's a big game this week. Big
I thought you
week.
Told me this Poncho guy, no problem,
That's
no
what
worries.
I thought. That's what I'm hearing.
Poncho, he's amazing.
They won't name a starting center.
Won't
Why
name
won't
a
they
backup
name?
Quarterback.
Well, we name people. Name them. Name names.
You want a hot take? I wouldn't be shocked if Novosad's had a better camp than Moore.
Ooh, hot take.
They've been ranting and raving about this Austin
kid. They have.
So we'll get to that coming up. Stuart Mandel will join us at 7:30 today. It is a loaded show. Thank you for being with us. And it's a Mail Sack Tuesday. Let's get it going. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
We will get into CeeDee Lamb getting paid yesterday. I want to get to some reporting that came out as well. But Dirt, are you excited for the Connor Stallions Netflix doc? It came out today.
I don't know how to feel about this, man. I'm kind of caught in between.
Caught in between what?
Well, like we got the notice of allegations over the weekend, so that's looming. And there's random reports online that nobody knows how accurate they are that the NCAA is going to drop the hammer on Michigan and they're going to get punished like nobody's ever been punished before. And then you see where those sources are coming from, and it's mainly a town called Columbus, Ohio, and you think, okay, I don't know quite how to feel about this news.
Yeah.
Part of me just simply wants to move on. Like, football season is starting this week. It's a new season. Jim Harbaugh's gone. Connor Stallions is no longer there. Like, I'm excited for this year. And I don't really want to look in the rearview mirror. But if you tell me that there are going to be significant punishments to Michigan, which I don't believe that there will be, but if you think that there will, then I'm more interested in the story. If this is just a slap on the wrist like every other infraction we've seen, Moore gets suspended for 3 games, you give him $1 million fine as a university, and we move on. To me, it's an absolute nothing burger.
That's a slap on the wrist to you? Moore suspended for 3 games?
That's a slap on the wrist to me.
Okay.
That's a, all right, here you go, 3-game suspension, you were a part of this, and see you later. Like, if that's all it is, I don't care, I'm moving on. We're not going to take the title away. Nobody else is claiming the championship. You can vacate the wins. I watch the games. I know who won. To me, moving forward, if Harbaugh was still there, bigger story. Harbaugh's gone. To me, it's a nothing burger right now.
I don't imagine Stallions is going to throw Harbaugh under the bus in this thing.
No. I mean, I think some of the intel has said that he is... He's claiming that he didn't know what he wasn't involved, or Harbaugh wasn't involved.
Well, he also wouldn't give over his phone and his phone records.
Exactly, so. When they were investigating it. So we're not like, what really
they
are
don't
we going
have
to
know any ties? Like, yeah, he won't give his phone away. Yeah,
and Sharon Moore deleted a bunch of text messages.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Of course it's shady. I'm not condoning in any way, shape, or form what Michigan did. We brought this up last year in the playoffs. It's laughable that they're just allowed in as a top 4 seed when everybody knows that they blatantly cheated all year. But that happened, and the games were played. So when that happens, to me as a fan, like, I don't do it with the Astros anymore. It's over. It happened. They won. I'm kind of moving on. I'll watch it, but I'm not sitting around, rubbing my hands like we're going to get some gold mine of information today in that documentary.
Well, I'm just like, is it really worth watching? Is kind of my whole, like, where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I think the only good news is...
I'm kind of, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
we've shared how we feel about it. If it was any other program, it'd be the same takeaway. Cheated, clearly.
Clearly.
I don't know. I'm kind of over it.
There's something about cheating in college football that it's just like everybody cheats in some way, shape, or form.
I know. Yeah. And this feels a little
it's like NASCAR.
Yeah.
You ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
And this, yeah, this is racing.
This took it a step further.
Right.
No doubt about it.
Right.
But how is it fair to pay a player that leads your team to a national championship? Is that the same level of cheating as this?
Yeah.
Right? Like, how do you parcel out what cheating matters and what cheating doesn't matter? The only good news about the documentary is I feel like these ones are pretty short. It's not like a 3-hour. I'm not watching an OJ
Simpson.
It's
an hour and 27 minutes.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, I just looked it up.
I thought it was shorter than
that. It's almost a 90-minute doc.
I'll give it.
Dave Portnoy's thoughts on Michigan football.
Can't wait to hear those.
Got to hear Barstool Bros' big thoughts on college football.
And eagerly awaiting his fair and balanced take on Michigan football.
Eat a bite of pizza and just stick up for Michigan already. We know you're going to do it.
I'll give it at some point this week. I'll give it the first 20 minutes. And if I'm
bored,
I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm not watching the entire. I'm not sitting down and committing to the entire thing.
Brett McMurphy, our good friend who was on not too long ago, reported yesterday the Big 12 presidents and ADs heard data and value point. Is it data or data? Does it matter?
I think that's an either or one.
I say it both ways. I don't say it one way every time. I wanted to say data there, and I said data.
I feel like I would have gone data.
Big 12 presidents and ADs heard data. Big 12 presidents and ADs heard data.
Yeah, you lean
data makes sense there.
But okay. I don't know.
Is there a difference between data and data?
I don't believe so.
Is it do that as a poll question?
Yeah.
Spelling it
and
the same?
Is
it data or data? See if anybody can figure it out. Which one are you voting for?
There's a guy on Instagram, and he likes to show how hard and dumb English is.
Yes.
And so he's talking to himself. He's pretending he's a student. He's also pretending he's a teacher. And he'll write E-A-R, and he'll say, how do you say this? And he'll guess it wrong and go, ear. And then he'll put a B in front of it, and the guy will go, beer, and he'll go, bear.
No, you idiot, it's bear.
That's the same thing.
Yes, they could go either way.
They have data and value points today regarding UConn as potential Big 12 member. There was never any plan to vote on UConn today, so league will continue gathering info on Huskies' impact on Big 12 by joining as a football member in 2031 and in non-football sport as early as 26. They want to give the Huskies 5-year ramp up
to
build the program up for football and let them participate because obviously they would want that basketball team.
Yeah,
men and women, by the way.
Men and women, yes. If I'm voting on this and I'm a Big 12 AD, I want nothing to do with UConn football. Nothing.
Really? Jim Mora had a good year last year.
Did he?
6 wins.
Are we sure about that?
No.
Okay.
I did this yesterday. Who'd I do this to? And you looked it up, and it was, Clay Helton the other day.
Clay Helton, yeah.
I was like, Clay Helton's had a great start. And you were like, 5-7.
He's 5-7 to Georgia Southern.
6-7.
Jim Mora was 3-9 last year.
Damn it.
3-9. He was 6 wins the year before.
Oh, that's what it
and
was.
And they lost their bowl game. They lost the Myrtle Beach Bowl to Marshall to finish 6-7. And he was 1-11 in year one. Actually, no, that was not him. That was still Randy Edsall. So Jim Mora, 6-7, 3-9 in his 2 years.
3-9, huh?
If I'm a Big 12 AD, I'm all for turning ourselves into the super basketball conference. That would be my angle at this point. You're never going to catch the other ones in football unless you can figure something out with Florida State and Clemson, although Florida State can no longer beat Georgia Tech, so have fun with that. If I can get Gonzaga and UConn and pair them with Kansas, Baylor, on and on and on, everybody else, Arizona that you have in that conference, that's incredible and amazing, and I want to do it. But if it means that I have to take UConn football in 2031, that drags you down, man. They will never be able to compete in that space.
I mean, I wouldn't say never.
And they will never. UConn football is terrible. They've always been terrible. They will always be terrible.
Well, you say that about Rutgers, and then they got Schiano.
Yeah.
And now Rutgers is like a respectable program who's recruiting in the top 25.
Winning 7 games a year. Congratulations.
You just said never going to be.
If
UConn was winning 7 to 8 games, that's pretty good.
They have like 3 seasons in the history of their program where they've won 9 games.
If you are constantly.
They already have 18 teams in the Big 12. Now you have to have 19 with them.
But if you're always winning the men's basketball title, the women's team is always in the thick of it, and the football team's winning 7-8, isn't that, aren't you pretty happy?
If they can get there, sure, but they're not going to get there. I'm not betting on that all happening. Right. Give me I'll take basketball any day of the week.
Hate on the Huskies.
I just don't think it makes financial sense if you have to add football in the inventory with it, because then you got to split that pie another way. I'm giving them $30-something million dollars a year for UConn football. That's where the money comes from in your TV deal.
I think the tough thing here is how much do they get of that pie until football gets into it? Because if you're getting football 5 years until they're into it, but you're giving basketball and all the non-football sports, that pie's got to be tiny.
I also feel like this would be a boom for the regular season of college basketball. Like,
I do too.
No offense to the West Coast Conference.
No, but the Big 12.
Getting Gonzaga in that conference to play regular season games in Kansas and all these other places would be awesome. And the same goes, I can't even tell you who's in the Big East anymore. Who's even in that conference with UConn?
Creighton.
Okay.
Xavier, Butler.
Is Cincinnati in that?
Marquette.
No, Cincinnati's in the Big 12 now.
Big 12, you're right.
So Marquette's Providence. A good program. Is Butler any good anymore?
I don't know.
Creighton, Seton Hall, St. John's, Villanova's still in the Big East, so you got that.
You know, if Gonzaga left and went to the Big 12, my Beavs might be the powerhouse.
He'd be the dominant team of that conference this year.
Watch out over there, Swagger.
You might go to the tournament this year.
You still got to deal with old Randy Bennett down there at St. Mary's.
You could take down the Australians. I'm not scared of St. Mary's.
Father Time will take care of him.
Yeah, get him out of
there. He'll retire soon.
That's right.
He'll be gone.
Pepperdine, I ain't shaking in my boots.
When Wayne turns 63 years old, he'll be gone.
You're damn right he will be.
We'll still be thriving.
That Silver Fox will be hitting his stride,
damn
baby.
Right he will be. All right. A little hodgepodge opening segment there. Let's dive in. CeeDee Lamb got paid. How big is this? We'll talk about that coming up next. Well, if I'm ever out to dinner with CeeDee Lamb, he's definitely picking up the check. The 25-year-old finally got his contract extension from the Dallas Cowboys, a 4-year extension worth $136 million. He is the second highest paid non-quarterback when it comes to contract average per year totals of $34 million. His deal includes $100 million guaranteed and a $38 million signing bonus, which is the largest ever for a wide receiver. He trails only the $35 million per year set by Justin Jefferson, who signed the 4-year $140 million deal. Jerry Jones said, quote, I think CeeDee's one of the best players in the NFL. I think he's very instrumental because of his position to quarterback success. Personally, I think if you look at complementary football, he does it all for you. He's multifaceted where he can line up, the type of things we can use for him. He's dedicated in his practice, and he's sound physically. That puts him really right there at the top as far as player. I'm trying to answer your question. I guess the answer without saying any more, I think he's one of the top players in the NFL, end quote.
You better hope he is, because you just paid him like he is. All I know out of this news is that the next time I negotiate a contract, can I request Jerry Jones to come in and be on the other side of the table? Because this guy loses every time. Every time. It was the last time you saw a Cowboy player hold out and you came away from it thinking, you know,
Jerry won.
Not a bad deal for the Cowboys there. Not a bad deal. I think Jerry got the better of that one. Nope, not again. So let's think about the logic here. Wide receiver market explodes this offseason. How many guys have gotten paid now? Like, too many to count. All the way back to when you and I were arguing Jalen Waddle and how much he's worth in Miami.
Yeah, it started with Waddle,
didn't it? That was a long time ago, buddy. That was a long time. A lot of guys have gotten paid between now and then. And what happens when you wait and you're dealing with one of the best wide receivers in the league?
Yep.
You got to pay him more than basically every other guy, other than Justin Jefferson was the only one on a per-year basis. He came below. Had to pay him more than every single one of those wide receivers. Well done. Well done, Jerry. Glad you waited. Glad you held out. You really won this negotiation. Good job, Cowboys.
So what happens if Dak's not back next year?
Whoever that rookie, Trey Lance is the guy, man. Come on.
Oh, with his five interceptions?
After his five picks this week, yeah. They traded a third-round pick for him.
So much fun to watch.
A lot of potential there in Trey Lance.
You're weird, man. How do you watch them and you're like, yeah, you suck. I hate you already. I don't know. CeeDee Lamb is certainly a great player.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, man. A
lot of money.
This is the ultimate danger in waiting.
How many receivers do you hear get these contracts and you don't, like, bat an eye versus the ones where you go, I don't know.
Because I think CeeDee Lamb's really effing good. But Justin Jefferson got it, and I went, oh, yeah, yeah. CeeDee Lamb got it, and I went, ah. And that's mainly probably because Dak is... either set to get paid, like really, really paid.
He should. I mean, unless you're moving on. Unless you're moving on. Pick a lane here, Dallas. What are we doing?
I don't think it's Trey Lance, though.
Some of the guy, like Justin Jefferson, I'm with you. There was no, I didn't blink at all when he was paid. Amon-Ra St. Brown, I didn't blink when he was paid in Detroit.
Tyreek Hill,
I didn't blink when he was paid.
You, to your credit, Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the argument that you were making, but I also understood at the time. Part of my argument, though, to be fair, was that I didn't think that they were going to pay Tua. That was part of my argument, and then they ended up paying Tua. So, didn't age too well on that one. Some of the other ones, though, at the top, like A.J. Brown, I do question. Just that, you know, he's 28, I want to say. He's good. I'm not disrespecting AJ Brown. All these guys are great, but when I'm talking about a $32 million a year average salary and nearly $90 million in guarantees, I think AJ Brown's good. I also think AJ Brown's a bit of a headache from time to time.
I was
going to
say the headache part of that should come into play.
You got to deal with it. Cooper Kupp, I didn't blink at all, and he's further down the list at this point. It's just funny how quickly this stuff gets. You get cycled out of a market. Like Josh Allen had to answer questions on this the other day, where people are asking him at Bills training camp, like, "Do you feel underpaid? Like, at what point are you going to ask for a new contract?" Because he just signed, but now so many have signed and bumped him down where he's like not even in the top five anymore. And he had a great answer of like, "Man, that will take care of itself. I'm fine. I'm compensated. I'm just focused on winning." But that's how quickly this market resets right now in the NFL. And it's why when you have somebody, if you really believe in them the way that Jerry evidently believes in CeeDee Lamb, lock this dude up in May. Lock this guy up in March. What the hell are you waiting until the week before the NFL season starts after six other guys have signed contracts and now you got to come in above market value?
Well, I think the other part of this, too, is now we wait for the other guy who's been talked about.
Yeah.
What happens there? I mean, he shouldn't be paid CeeDee Lamb money.
No, he should not.
CeeDee Lamb is a better player than Brandon Ayuk.
Without a question.
So I don't know how you slot that.
And I think that's why the 49ers are in the position that they're in, because they know that he's good, but he's not top five wide receiver good.
I don't know, man. I just, how people decide who to pay and when to pay and the quarterback part of all of that, I don't envy anybody in that position at a general manager spot that's like, hey, we just gave our quarterback $58 million a year.
Yeah, now we got to pay this guy $35 million.
Now, well, I mean, like, we'll get to some NFC West newsy notes, but, like, the Niners also have an offensive lineman that's saying, I'm not coming back. Give me my money, and I'll come back. But I'm not coming back. I won't even be on the sidelines for your stuff. I want my money. And just having to navigate it, knowing you got to pay a guy like Brock Purdy. You talked about the Dolphins. They gave Waddle the deal. They paid Tyreek Hill, got him the extension. And it was like, oh, they're not going to pay Tua?
How are they going to afford that?
And they said, no, hold our beer. We love offense. We'll here's Tua's contract.
It's like $800 million for three players, one quarterback and two wide receivers in Miami.
Do you think the dysfunction of Dallas off the field, the narrative stuff with the Cowboys, Dominic Foxworth was on ESPN this morning. He basically says he thinks their offensive numbers are going to drop from where they were last year. They were a really good team last year.
They were. They've been a really good regular season team for a long time.
And they just crumble in the playoffs, and they got just kind of embarrassed by Green Bay at home.
Yeah.
Do you buy that they can succeed with all of the noise that's already happened? This season has happened, and it's been loud.
Yeah. Succeed in terms of the regular season or succeed in terms of the playoffs? Because if you tell me the Dallas Cowboys win 12 games this year, I'm not surprised in the least.
So you think they're that good again?
I do.
I think their division.
I see. Part of it is the division for me. I'm not super high on the Eagles this year. There's a lot of talk about dysfunction. The quarterback and head coach seemingly hate each other.
Yeah, that's a weird story.
Crumbled at the end of last season.
He's got his own quarterback coach.
Yeah, have fun with that. They lost their All-Pro, All-World Hall of Fame center who anchored their offensive line.
Good leader in the locker room.
So you got to replace that.
Yep.
Rookie quarterbacks tend to struggle. I know C.J. Stroud's the outlier, but I'm not looking at Washington at all of a sudden being a 10-11 win team this year. And the New York Giants might be the worst team in the NFL.
Dirt, they've been 12-5 for three straight years.
And they've been basically the same team, it seems like, every year. Change out a head coach, change out a coordinator. It seems like they've been the same team now every single season. But when it comes to the postseason, that's a different argument. Most of the time in these negotiations, I do take the player's side. The Brandon Ayuk one has gotten to a point, though, where it's just like, what do you want? Like, they worked out trades for you. We found Salute. You want to go to Cleveland? No. Okay. You want to go to New England? No. Okay. You want a new deal? No. Okay. What do you want? At some point, you got to decide.
12-5 for four straight years for McCarthy, and he could get fired. Could you imagine that?
They won a playoff game.
Yeah, but if
that's not true. They won one playoff game.
Who did they beat?
They beat Tampa 2 years ago.
Oh, that's right. The garbage-ass Tampa team.
Yes, the end of the Brady run.
Yeah, the Brady team that shouldn't have been in the playoffs, but that division was an absolute dumpster.
Talk about bad divisions, awarding playoff teams.
It would just be funny optics to go four straight years going 12-5 and lose your job.
Yep.
In any other... I mean, that winning percentage...
That's Marty Schottenheimer stuff.
I mean, it really is Marty Schottenheimer stuff, isn't it?
It is.
Just being the Chargers and the Chiefs, there's always good, but they never win a playoff game.
Yes, first year they lost to the 49ers in the game where he called a quarterback draw with 9 seconds left and the clock ran out.
Yes.
The next year they smoked the Bucs and then lost again to the 49ers, yeah. And Dak Prescott threw three picks. And
that was
Ezekiel
Elliott final play, I'm the center quarterback. Remember that exchange?
Just famous. One of the all-time greats for Mike McCarthy.
What are you doing?
Just an all-time great design. Just brilliant play calling in key situations.
I mean, your division point might be valid. Washington might be not very good. The Giants seem like they might be in the running for the worst team in football.
Yeah.
And the Eagles are very questionable. They have talent.
They do.
But their coach is coming in on a scorching hot seat. The relationship, at least publicly, doesn't seem like it's great with Jalen Hurts. But, I mean... This stuff just looms over you as a franchise.
Yes, it does.
Right? We saw this with the Blazers years ago. Every time they face the Lakers, they come close, they didn't win, and then years after that, you know, bounced early in the first round by the Lakers. You become kind of like mentally owned by them. Dallas is in this. It's like, no, we know we're a good team. We just don't know if we can win in the playoffs. And so far, they can't.
No.
And so coming into this year, McCarthy's last year of his deal... And Jerry Jones seems to think that's going to be motivating. That was a weird quote.
Yeah.
Dak's contract stuff is really weird. It's like, if this is the end of his Cowboy tenure, like, what's your alternative? You can give me all the things about Dak you don't like. Dak was an MVP candidate last year and puts up good numbers. And again, three straight years of 12-5.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you replacing that? I have too many questions. I think my thing in sports is I tend to more look even above the GMs. Like, we're doing this with the Mariners. Oh, DePoto's a bum. No, the owner is. The owner sets the standard. I think in Dallas, dysfunctional, successful, yes, to a degree, but dysfunctional. Well, why?
Right.
Well, the owner's son seems to be running the team, but the owner is the one that wants to publicly have all the press conferences. It's a little odd. You're seeing that New England.
Yeah.
The Kraft. His son's reportedly behind the scenes running things because Robert's kind of old, but Robert is still the face and the owner. And yeah. It's like, I just don't know how you succeed with things like that looming over your franchise.
They have reached kind of a level where I think because of their history, the postseason stuff is something that goes through their mind every time they're there. Like, they're almost the equivalent of an Ohio State right now, where they realize that anything that we do in the regular season, it does not matter.
You can feel it when the playoff game kicks off.
There's
like,
just
oh my
a
God.
Difference. They're a different team. They're almost the Cubs at this point. Like,
yeah.
They know it's been 30 years since they've done anything that matters. And that's just a different level of pressure. You're not going in lose-free, nothing to lose. Like, they have everything to lose, and they know that everybody will mock them when they lose again, eventually in the wildcard round. And then adding on top of this was the quotes from Jerry Jones yesterday after the deal, where he talked to Clarence Hill, and he said, I've done it all. I have an inordinate amount of confidence that bleep, if anybody can figure out how to get this bleep done, I can figure out how to get it done. I've been there every which way from Sunday. I busted my ass a bunch. There's nobody living that's out cutting and shooting that can't give you a bunch of times they busted their ass. So hell no, there's nobody that could bleeping come in here and do all the contracts and be the GM any better than I can.
And that's why Swigart is no longer a fan. That's the hubris that guy's been living with since 1996.
Once again, overpaying for another. CD Lamb is great. He is a very good wide receiver. Mm. Is he the second best wide receiver in the NFL? I would vote no, but now he's paid like it. And that's your quote. Nobody can do this better than me.
A Hall of Famer with some advice for an NFL player and some not so good news up north. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan. Let's run through a couple NFL things. We'll get to the Oregon State news. Dan Lanning with real thoughts on Idaho.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Break it down.
Idaho.
Big game, big opener.
Old Takes Exposed tweeted this yesterday.
Mm.
A gentleman named Kevin Stimely tweeted in April of 2017
Thank you, Andy Reid. Now Giants won't make mistake of taking Mahomes. We all got bad ones. That's certainly in the conversation for maybe the worst one.
Oh, man.
Did it shock you that Aaron Donald is faster than LeSean McCoy?
That's terrifying.
I mean, to give you a reference of what that was like to go against that dude.
Terrifying.
He did a foot race with LeSean McCoy and he dusted him.
So much respect for that guy, too. How old is Aaron Donald? 31.
Yeah, he's not that old.
Like, just having the ability to be elite for a decade.
33.
Win a Super Bowl.
Just turned 33 in May.
Yeah. How many All-Pros, like, first ballot Hall of Famer and just say, all right, I'm done.
Yeah,
I respect the hell out of that, man. We talk about this from time to time when you see athletes who are no longer the same version of themselves. Like, it costs you. We were having a conversation about Andrew Jones in the Hall of Fame a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the detractors of him is that the last 5 years of his career, they were ugly. They weren't good.
Yep.
He wasn't the same player anymore. And that's kind of the visual that some people have when you think about him. You will never think of Aaron Donald in any other way other than greatest defensive lineman of all time.
We mentioned Brandon Ayuk. He has not gotten a contract extension from San Francisco, nor has he been traded. Steve Young, a former Niner quarterback, was on KNBR and had this to say about Brandon Ayuk and his agent and this whole situation.
But Brandon, because of his youth and because he's not going to set the market yet wants to set the market, says, I want to be traded. And then goes through this, I don't know how to put it, but it was like, bro, like, if you want to tear up the contract and do something big, then you might want to pick, you know, you might want to go the fifth year and go prove it out, like, to make sure that everybody's on board with you setting the market. Or if you're going to ask to be traded, then when they make a trade that works for them, you got to say you're up for it. You don't say, oh, no, that doesn't work for me. Because then it was like, well, what do you want? And so there's been the back and forth that's been very, I don't know, they can get mended. It's not like they're like broken relationships, but it's stretched. It's strained. And I think at the end of the day, Brandon's now sitting in front of a contract that's probably 49ers have stretched as much as they possibly can. They don't want to set the market. They don't want to do it. They don't think it's the time.
So what does he want? Does he want the big contract because they had teams that wanted to pay him, but he refused to go there?
New England and Cleveland both agreed to give him the contract he wanted.
But does he want to win because he wants to go to teams that on paper seem like less than better chances at winning than San Francisco? So Steve Young basically saying what kind of everybody feels like they're saying, what's the holdup? What's going on here? Is this a Niner problem? Is this an Ayuk doesn't know what he wants problem? I don't know what to make of it, and I am kind of sick of talking about it.
Yes.
They've got you could make an argument they got a bigger problem with Trent Williams not being in the building, because I think they can get by without Ayuk. I think they wouldn't miss him, but Trent Williams, I mean, I would kiss any real notion of contention away if Trent Williams is not playing in a Niner uniform this
Completely
year.
Completely agree. That is the much bigger story in San Francisco, yet Ayuk has sucked up the vast majority of the headlines, which kind of sums up the way we talk about football, more on the outside skill position.
The glamour spots.
Right,
yeah.
Glamour spots, right. And we all overlook the fact that Patrick Mahomes, when he didn't have an offensive line, he got his ass kicked in a Super Bowl. That's the way that it works, and so Trent Williams is a much bigger story. I saw this from yesterday from Young, and I agree 100%. To me, my read on it, without having obviously any inside intel, it is that Brandon Ayuk never wanted to really leave San Francisco, was hoping that his demanding of a trade and the holdout would get him the contract that he thought that he deserved. The Niners have gone as far as they were willing to go, and he's just stuck in this rock and a hard place. I'm being stubborn, and I don't want to come back and cave and accept the offer that was on the table months ago, because it doesn't make him look good to come back to whatever they were originally offering. He's not worth setting the market for. He's a good wide receiver. He's also a benefactor of the system that he's in and what is around him. And if making money is the most important thing to you, dude, nobody's going to judge you. Go play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Go play for the Washington Commanders. Go play for the Cleveland Browns.
The Patriots wanted to
give
him
money. The Patriots wanted to pay him. They worked out a deal. They were going to send Kendrick Bourne back. The Niners said, sure, here you go. And he said, no, I don't want to go play with Drake May. So do you want to make money or do you want to win? And if you want to win, sign the damn contract. Show up. Like, at some point, you have to put your ego aside. Realize you're making a ton of money to play in the NFL. And the 49ers have a Super Bowl window that is rapidly closing because of the age of some of their key players. And to have all these distractions going into another year, it's really unfortunate.
Uchenna Nwosu, unfortunately for him in Seattle, suffered an MCL sprain.
Yeah.
He's out 2 to 6 weeks.
That's always a bummer, man.
Seahawks are going to lose their top edge rusher. And pretty big bummer news, I think, for the Seahawks. They could be okay.
Yeah.
Nwosu got hurt, I believe, last year. He ended up playing, he played 6 games. So he got hurt last year. Really unfortunate because you were looking for a bounce back year for him.
Yeah.
I know they drafted Murphy, but having Murphy in the kind of interior part of that defensive line with Nwosu on the outside, very unfortunate news for Mike McDonald and company yesterday, spraining his MCL.
Well, and to your point, they learned and figured out a way to live without him last year, but you never want to see this stuff early on in the season. They're a team that fired up their fan base this weekend. Their offense looks so good with the starters intact, and I don't know how many starters played for Cleveland on the other side, but Geno looked great, throwing touchdowns to DK Metcalf. Like, that revved up every Seahawk fan engine. Now this is a different side of the ball that they're going to have to worry about, and largely been an issue for them in pass rush, but that's why they went out and got Leonard Williams last year. He just hates seeing guys get hurt this time of year.
Their defense hasn't been good since when?
It's been a long time, buddy.
L.O.B.?
Long time. Yeah.
Really? I mean, even last year, they didn't have Nwosu. It wasn't a good defense. No. I watched that.
No, their pass rush has been horrendous for many years, and that's why they had to make that big trade. Got the deal done with Leonard Williams, but yeah, when you lose a guy like that, hopefully there's enough there with the rookie and the addition from last season, but if that pass rush struggles, you got to have one in the modern NFL.
I'm having a hard time slotting them in my mind of how good I think they'll be this year. I've gone back and forth. I could see them not making the playoffs because I don't know if I trust their defense yet. I also could see them being a stingy wild card team that fights everybody in the NFC West tooth and nail.
I think they're kind of the same team. I mean, that's kind of who they've been the last 2 years.
But they've got an upgrade. Seemingly, they're supposed to be having an upgrade at coach because this is the new up-and-coming defensive guy versus Pete was getting old. Like, that's the thinking there, right?
Sure.
So if the defense is the improvement, we know Grubb knows offense, and you've got all those weapons with, you know, Geno works and he's kind of, you know, saved his career.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't do the upgrade and coach thing yet. I clearly see the argument, but until you've coached a game as a head coach, you just never know. You never know how it's going to work out.
I guess I meant more just defense.
Sure, the thought of philosophy, what he could do on that side of the football. Right. They've been back-to-back years a 9-8 team.
That's kind of, in my head.
I don't see them any different. They're not going to be terrible. I don't see them being better. I don't see them winning 12 or 13 games. I would be shocked if that happened. And so your conversation comes down to what does the wild card window look like? Because 9-8 2 years ago, good enough to get in. 9-8 last year, not good enough to get in. So what does the rest of the NFC West or NFC in a general look like?
We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. Oregon State has picked their quarterback and landing with Idaho. Thoughts. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.